All right, what is the fate of Jennifer Crumbly after days of testimony, after days of evidence, and days of the jury hearing what each side wants them to hear? What is the outcome for Jennifer Crumbly? It's where we talk to Todd Flood of Flood Law, and he joins us. Todd, good to have you back.
Chris, as always, a pleasure, my friend, a pleasure.
Let's rewind a couple of days here. It was certainly a surprise to some by opening Jennifer Crumbly up to the witness stand. It would open her up to cross-examination. What did you make of the defense and the prosecution's examination of her?
I think it was a well-rehearsed defense direct examination. It was all self-serving. It didn't come off as completely genuine. And I'm not sure, whether or not jurors had their arms folded during the time frame of her direct examination. And I will say, I think Mark did a good job. I think he truncated his cross-examination quite a bit. He put the key in the door, but I don't think he always turned the key because there was a lot of crescendo that was supposed to take place of the aha moment of, he starts off with, well, you understand you just took an oath. So everybody and their brother knows exactly what that means. He's going to start to talk about her lying or lying under oath. And so he gets into that and then he starts to impeach and get through with dismantling to the way he could because that she was a good mom. She was the helicopter mom. She was there all the time. But if you look at it, there were some great points he brought up to show, hey, listen, your digital footprint showed that you really weren't with your son, or in fact that you'd rather be someplace else than with him. So I would not have telegraphed that, one, she was going to take the stand like defense counsel did. Two, I think her testimony, in my experience, became too self-serving and was somewhat deflated by the prosecution.
So in terms of, even aside from the decision to put her on the stand, which is, some defense attorneys or prosecutors will look at that one way or the other. You don't always want your defendant to be opened up to cross, but that's fine. That was the decision that was made. In terms of the onus is on the prosecution. It's on them to prove guilt, to prove negligence, to prove that these are two dirtbag parents that didn't pay attention to their son, that led to the deaths and irreparable harm mentally, physically to a number of different people at that school. Did they prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, do you think, the prosecution?
Beyond a reasonable doubt. Not beyond a shadow, beyond a reasonable. Did they prove that? So, you bring up a good point, and I was just explaining this to a group of lawyers just prior to coming on. You had to have some knowledge. You had to show, not that they're bad parents, not that they're bad parents. You had to show that these bad parents had knowledge that their son, it was reasonably foreseeable that he would do something horrific with this gun. And I think when you go through, all the evidence, I think the government has given enough to the jury to say and hang their hat on that it was reasonably foreseeable that you give this deadly weapon to this kid or fail to act. Not only act, but failure to act was a foreseeable outcome that something ugly could happen, including death. Right. So I think their check boxes are there. You have to go through it. What I think is confusing for a lot of people is conflating something. Being a bad parent doesn't make you criminally liable for the act of a kid. It doesn't. you have to have something more. You have to have a duty, and you have to fail to do that duty, or you do some overact to assist. Here, there's so many, Chris, there's so many things where just ordinary care, if you would have just given ordinary care. If I was, I haven't seen the closing yet, but if I was in given that closing as a government, I would say, hey, you know what the alternative, you know what ordinary care is, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? Ordinary care is this. You're in a meeting, you see that your son has drafted this ugly, disgusting picture of death. You see that there's a gun in the photograph or in the picture. Ordinary care would be this. You know what? Can I have a minute with my son, Mr. Principal, Mr. Counselor, Mr. Teacher? Yeah. Okay. You guys step up. Hey, son, where's the gun right now? That's ordinary care, right? Failing to do that, I think, is that gross negligence when you have knowledge that your son is in peril. And we'll see. I haven't seen the defense closing argument. I don't think, I call it as you see it. I don't think the defense was well prepared. And there's only one defense in this case. You know, it is, you got the wrong person here. I did not do the shooting, right? Mm-hmm. And I had no knowledge here, and you got to put the plan B. And there were so many things that you could have seen. For the life of me, you know, this counselor that Hawkins that gets all these emails, you know, from the Spanish teacher, from the English teacher, saying, you know, he's and from another teacher on the day of the shooting, he's looking at bullets. You know, there's so much there. If I was the defense attorney, I'd be saying, I never knew any of that. They didn't tell me that. And why isn't he sitting in this chair? Right. So there's a lot to that. And I think that was Hopkins. But anyway, at the end of the day, I think the defense was not as prepared as this case deserved.
I have about 30 seconds left here. How does this, whatever the outcome is in the Jennifer Crumbly case, how does that affect the James Crumbly case, do you think?
It gives a roadmap for the defense of what works, what doesn't work. I think, you know, there's going to be a better preparation for the defense than you would have seen in this case.
Interesting stuff. Todd Flood, great insight, analysis as always. Have a good weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Chris, thank you, my friend. Yep. You have a great weekend.
You got it. That's Todd Flood at the Flood Law. If you want to weigh in, 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. An interesting story out of Politico today as well. Talking about the way that Joe Biden not only thinks about Donald Trump, but what he says about him. I have a question for you about what you want your president to be. And we'll do that coming up as well. 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR, all that and more as we continue here on JR Afternoon.